Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to this Election Day edition of Vox Pop for Tuesday, November 5th. I'm Ray Graff. Voters are heading to the polls today. Tens of millions have already voted, either today or via early voting. There are high-profile races in our region. And then there's this presidential business as well. We're joined today by WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, who will help us break it all down. You're welcome to chime in today. General question might be, what drove you to the polls this time around? The number to call is 800-348-2551. You don't need to tell us who you voted for unless you want to. You don't have to. 800-348-2551 is the number, or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. We'll get it all underway. Take your calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Finally, it's election day and voters are heading to the polls. Those of us who have not voted in the last week or 2 weeks or however long early voting is where you are will be deciding some very important races, including the presidential race. Joining us today is WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. He'll help us separate the wheat from the chaff and get ready for what is sure to be a very exciting and very long election night here in the WAMC newsroom. You want to chime in on the whole election business? Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Or WAMC.org. That's our website. You can listen online, and you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org is the email, and the number is 800-348-2551. Ian Pickus, nice job on the newscast, and you stayed right in your chair. Welcome.
I was going to say, that guy's pretty good.
Not bad at all. Well, I appreciate you being here today.
Thanks for the invitation.
You're going to be here tomorrow, too. We'll have David Lombardo with us as well.
Thinking about sleeping over.
It's going to be a long night. And, you know, before we get into the brass tacks of the whole thing and the minutia, it has been an uncommonly stressful time for this country. You had a presidential candidate get shot at once and almost a second time. You had the president back out of the race and be replaced in a fashion that some on the left and the right said, well, that's not really fair. There were no votes taken for this. Are you going to be glad when it's over?
I'm going to be very glad when it's over. I think the big question is, no matter what happens tonight, what happens next in the coming days, in the coming weeks? You know, the 2020 result is still being fought about now, to this day, 4 years later. And I do worry about what this period between now and January 20th will look like, especially if things are as close or as hotly contested as most of the experts say they will be today.
You know, will they be that close is a question we won't know until the polls start closing. And I think the first, few hours at least until the first polls close. You're not old enough to remember this, but I think it was 80, maybe it was the 80 election or the 84 election. Reagan was pretty far down right at the end in the polls and then just mopped the floor. And I think that was a, I'm not sure if it was against Carter or it was against Mondale. I'm not sure which one that was.
84, yeah.
Was it the 84?
84 was the Mondale race, 80 the Carter race, and 84 was the huge wipeout Electoral College.
But it wasn't predicted. Do the pollsters truly have their finger on the pulse is my question.
Well, I think we're all thinking back on 2020 and 2016 right now. In 2016, there was not a lot of thought given to a Donald Trump victory. And we've spent a lot of time since then trying to understand why the polls were off that day. The best pundit that day gave him about a 1 in 3 chance to win.
Right.
And in 2020, most of the polls showed that President Biden was going to be a clear victor on election night. And
yeah,
he ended up winning thanks to some, 10,000 votes here and there in some key states. So We really don't know, obviously, what will happen. We have to have the votes counted. And anyone who tells you today, hey, this is what will happen tonight, Don't believe them.
It'll be a long night, and you have a live broadcast coming. We might as well do some forward promotion with Lucas Willard. That's at 7?
We're going to be taking special coverage from NPR starting at 7. They'll set the scene, and then at 8 o'clock, WAMC has an hour plus of live guests from across the Northeast, and we'll check in. We'll have some results by then, in all likelihood. The first polls in our coverage area close at 7, and then another round at 8, and then New York closes at 9. So this is what Election Day is like. People have been messaging me today, hey, how's it going so far? Right now is nothing. Right now you are hurrying up to wait, and then once we get to sundown, everything starts happening pretty fast.
And we're pretty excited in the newsroom because the pizza will be coming. I want you to know I brought some Alka-Seltzer just in case.
For me or for you?
Well, I don't know. It depends on how many slices you eat. The number here is 800-348-2551. It's an Election Day edition of Vox Pop. President Trump or not Vice President, but former President Trump said today when he cast his ballot, he's very confident, which is what you would expect the candidate to say. We have had record numbers of early voting in Georgia, North Carolina. AP said 80-plus million votes cast before today.
Amazing.
How that figures in, I don't know. At what point does it become a wash? And the same as if you went on Election Day. If everyone's early voting, my polling place this morning, 6 a.m., last time, 4 years ago, the line was outside. Today, I was second in line, just done. There was nobody there.
Do you think that's because of early voting or lack of interest? I doubt it's the latter.
I don't think so. And I asked the polling people, I said, what do you think? And they said, yeah, early voting. Everybody's doing that. So
it's kind of like a lockbox fun drive dynamic,
In what way?
Well, some people early voted in the fun drive and some people waited until the fun drive.
I see what you're saying. But the difference there is some people voted early in the lockbox and then voted again.
That's true.
During the fun drive.
You can't do that.
I would hope that that doesn't happen or things will really get ugly fast.
One per customer, folks.
Ian Pickus is here. It's Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Feel free to share your thoughts on the election and maybe what drove you to the polls as we get into the show here. Control of Congress is at stake. And New York played a big role in Republicans taking the House last time. And Ian, we're not making predictions. You and I are not prognosticators, but just fill those of us who maybe aren't living in New York in on what some of these key races are.
It's really been exciting for politics people in New York State because we had House Speaker Mike Johnson coming through. We had the House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries from Brooklyn coming through. And for our purposes here in the WAMC area, there are a few races that will be pivotal to what happens. One of them is the Pat Ryan, Allison Esposito race. That's in New York's 18th congressional district. And Pat Ryan has been in Congress since winning a special election against another person we're going to talk to in a moment. And he's going for a second full term now. And that race is a Hudson Valley swing district, the seat that at one time went back and forth between John Faso and Antonio Delgado. So that's one to keep a close eye on. And if Allison Esposito's name is familiar, she was the lieutenant governor candidate with Lee Zeldin a couple of years ago when Zeldin gave Kathy Hochul a scare on Election Day, kind of showing the strength of Republican support.
And what is the polling showing? Do you have that information on the Esposito race?
The last polls I've seen have put Ryan a few points ahead. The ratings agencies like The Cook, which is a nonpartisan outlet that does House ratings, says it's a lean Democrat seat. So I think Ryan would be expected to win today, but wouldn't be shocking if he didn't.
You know, we were shocked to some extent, not shocked, but surprised at the strength of the Zeldin campaign. And does that foretell anything you think in the makeup of New York State voters?
Yeah, I think it does. And I think that's why you saw Governor Hochul react the way she did this year to say, hey, I'm going to help the Democrats win back the House of Representatives, because there was a lot of finger pointing after the last round of elections in New York, where we went through this torturous redistricting process for all the House seats, ended up with maps drawn by a special master, and Democrats lost a bunch of seats that they really wanted to keep. you know, Sean Patrick Maloney, the Hudson Valley Democrat at the time, was running the Democrats' congressional campaign effort that time.
And he took some heat for that.
And he lost the seat.
Yeah.
To Mike Lawler, who's in another of the very closely watched races today. Lawler is going for a second term in the 17th district. He's a first-term Republican, and he's facing Mondaire Jones, who is a former Democratic member of Congress. And this is an interesting race, one, because Lawler has really tried to position himself as, you know, a bipartisan kind of reach across the aisle member in this cycle. He's been on NPR. He's been on these airwaves probably more than I have in this congressional term as part of that outreach effort. And he is facing Mondaire Jones in what's kind of a new generation battle. They're both very young men to be in Congress. And then we also have the person I hinted at a moment ago, Mark Molinaro, the former county executive in Dutchess. He's running for a second term in New York's 19th district. That's a rematch against Josh Riley, the Democrat, and they had a two-point race the last time around. We heard Molinaro stumping in the district in our newscast at the top of the hour, and that district goes from over here all the way to Ithaca and Binghamton. And so to cover that district on Election Day, spending a lot of time in the car trying to get out every last vote.
You know, you mentioned this, you alluded to this, and I think we saw this, too, in the Molinaro race where Riley, in some of the ads, says, well, you know, I'm bipartisan, I'll reach across the aisle. We've seen this with Tester out in Montana as well. And it's sort of, I've worked with Trump, and I think we've seen this in Pennsylvania as well. Is this strategy, will it backfire on Democrats?
Hey, it could. I mean, I think what you're seeing is candidates know where they're polling relative to the standard bearer of the party. And like in Tester's case, you know, he's been a fairly popular senator in that state, but he's not going to run ahead of where Kamala Harris is, you know, in the state.
Yeah. Oh, like that's very
he's got a
point.
Huge deficit to make up. So they're playing with a disadvantage to begin with. The Riley Molinaro race is interesting. And I worked on the debate that we did with the Upstate Debate Consortium.
Nice job, by the way.
Thank you. If you look at my photo in the C-SPAN archives, they got me with my mouth open.
You know, that's pretty much typecasting.
That's true.
Just talking, you know, just saying.
But one thing, and they have had a very brutal and bitter contest this time around. Doesn't seem to be a lot of love lost there. But one thing they have agreed on is that immigration they see as an issue for each of them. They've both run against the White House on immigration in this campaign. And so we'll see what voters think. They've blamed each other, too, for the issue not being solved.
Ian Pickus is our guest today. He's WAMC's news director. We're gearing up for a very big day here. We're ready to take your calls, 800-348-2551. Your emails as well, voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ian Pickus, any idea what that song is? You're too young.
I don't recognize it.
Johnny Quest.
Ah,
the old
okay.
Cartoon theme from Johnny Quest. It's Vox Pop.
I only like one cartoon.
What's that?
The Simpsons.
Well, that's a good cartoon. That's a very
my favorite
good one.
Cartoon.
An email or two here, and then we'll get to the phones. 800-348-2551. Sam writes in, no political questions, just a hi to my former high school classmate, Ian. So there you go.
Hi, Sam.
All right.
I wonder if that's Sam C.
It is.
Okay.
It
Hi,
is,
Sam.
This email from Kevin in Greenfield. I live and work in True Blue, Massachusetts. I have a theory. My work has me driving around Western Massachusetts 50 to 200 miles per day. And for the first time, I can remember I've seen many hundreds of Democratic lawn signs all over the area. I've been thinking that if Massachusetts Dems are this fired up about the election, that Democrats all over the country will get the numbers out with ease. I fully realize that it's incredibly non-scientific. That's Kevin. Well, what do you think about that? The enthusiasm seems high on all sides.
I think it's not a stretch to say Democrats will have a very good day in Massachusetts. We have Senator Elizabeth Warren running against Republican John Deaton as she goes for a third term. Governor Maura Healey is spending part of today stumping for an ally in New Hampshire's gubernatorial race, but she'll be at Warren's victory party tonight. And there was an analysis about Massachusetts races on the statehouse level. it has the least competitive
yeah.
races in America.
Yeah.
Very few are contested.
Exactly.
There are almost no Republicans in the state legislature. So if you're left of center in Massachusetts, you have reason to feel fired up because you're winning.
The number here is 800-348-2551. In Connecticut, the challenger to Johanna Hayes is an interesting one because in 2022, that race was exceedingly close.
That's the 5th district and the one closest in our listening area. And that has always been one, you know, because it's an all-Democratic delegation in Connecticut.
Yep.
And the other four, you've got people like Rosa DeLauro who have been there for 34 years. Many of them are not likely to lose. That's the one where it could go either way. I think Cook also considers Hayes to be a lean Democrat seat. But when we get down to talking about a point or two, I mean,
2,000 votes. I mean,
yeah.
Less than one percentage point the last time.
You could definitely lose the race.
And I understand that the Hayes campaign says, you know, we feel like it'll be stronger because we are on the ticket with Harris in this election. So it remains to be seen.
But you know what, Ray? Last time around, remember, Democrats did better than it was expected they would do during the midterm, the Biden midterm.
Yes.
Typically, that first midterm of the presidential term does not go well for the party in power. So I don't think we know what the coattail effects will be of a candidate who's only been on the ticket since the summer.
Doesn't it drive you nuts that we might know the results of that and some of the local races, but the big race, we probably won't know until tomorrow. And I remember Bush Kerry. I stayed up till 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. Like, we worked all night. And
yeah.
Then I went home and stayed up until it was called. And that was short by what I think will be happen by comparison to what's going to happen today.
And in 2020, which was the first time with real mail-in balloting as a force in American politics,
yeah.
It was the following Saturday. So we went Tuesday, yeah. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday afternoon. Just within Midday Magazine, as I recall, we finally had a race call.
You know, it's kind of like being on the rack. It's just a little bit more tension every time. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551. That's our number. It's Vox Pop Today, an Election Day edition. We begin with that sage from Argyle. It's Merle. Hello, Merle, you're up.
All right. Hi, guys.
Hey,
Merle.
This is more of a complaint.
Oh, boy.
Than any politics,
okay.
Or who's running for who. I understood that New York, they had a motor registration. You got your driver's license, you were automatically a voter.
Motor voter.
That's not true. And why in New York State you can't just vote? Why do you have to be registered to vote? You, if you're, let's say you're not registered, why can't they still allow you to vote? Put your ballot to the side, and then we'll check whether you're a citizen, blah, blah, blah.
I think
blah.
They do that in North Dakota, Merle. One of the Dakotas, they do not require registration. So I think that's the only state where that is not a requirement.
A lot of the good government groups agree with Merle. The deadline in New York, you had to have registered to vote by October 26th. Mm. So there's still a little window.
Okay, go ahead,
and
Merle.
And the other thing is, I handed out hundreds of those things, and I didn't read the fine print, and I just wrote on the last day, October 26th, but the fine print said it had to be in the office of elections by October 26th.
Ah,
so
that's
you
correct.
Would have to mail it at least 5 days in advance of
interesting.
That.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Merle, did you get a new phone? Your audio is spectacular today.
Oh, I don't know.
Something happened. There's no 60-cycle hum on it.
Yeah.
Good job.
Good reception. It's clear out here
right.
In Argyle.
Hey, Merle, thanks a lot for checking in. 800-348-2551. That's our number. Speaking of details that were not finally delineated, Prop 1 in New York is a little arcane. The wording has been, you know, I looked at it again this morning when I voted, and it could have been a little clearer.
We had on Midday Magazine today Susan Lerner from Common Cause, and she has been beating this drum
yeah.
since we got the
including
language.
Including in court, right?
Yes, which was that this language is supposed to be understandable to an eighth grade level reader. And everyone knows, if you pay attention to the news, that this is Prop 1 is meant to enshrine abortion rights, more or less. You will not find that word in the amendment. And that has really opened the door to a number of critiques and challenges of the language. We'll see what happens if it passes. But I think the expectation is that there will be more cases in court going forward.
Ian Pickus is our guest. It's an Election Day edition of Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Paul is in Troy. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon. Here's an issue that no one anywhere has raised, and that is election reform. The two gentlemen running in the 41st Congressional District have browbeaten us for weeks and weeks and months, including today. And I think campaigning should stop at 2:01 on Election Day. Neither of them is qualified to represent us and spend public money because of the $35 million as of September that the combined campaigns have spent.
Huh. Which race, Paul?
They're still running ads. I got an annoying phone call this morning from Molinaro.
Oh, okay.
I think 19th. We need restrictions on the amount of money spent on campaigns, on the length of campaigns, and that there should be proportional allocation of electors in the state based on the popular vote, which is something that they do, I believe, in both Maine and Nebraska. And that would help resolve that issue, if not doing away with the electoral college completely.
Interesting.
So you're going to need a new Supreme Court.
How so?
Well, we know that the Citizens United decision kind of paved the way to a lot of the influx of millions that...
Well, then we need to get together and browbeat the public officials and the Congress the way they've been browbeating us in this endless election and say, we want election reform, we want the laws changed, if necessary, an amendment, which I know is a complicated long-term deal. I don't think any of these people are benefiting from cuddling their little kids and having their mothers call them Sonny on ads as they make pizza.
All right.
Has anything to do with the office for which they are running.
Now, let's not disrespect
pizza. Let them say whatever they want to say, but they need to stop it at some point. These guys are going to be running ads tomorrow.
Paul, I truly appreciate your acrid attitude today. Well done, sir, and thank you for calling. 800-348-2551. Paul's a regular and a smart dude. Obviously a little miffed.
Here's what my wonderful colleague John Campbell from WNYC reported. $146 million has gone into the key New York races, about six races in New York that are seen as key to controlling the House of Representatives the next time around. And the race that he's talking about, over $40 million.
Somebody did a piece today. I'm not sure who it was. Was it Campbell's piece today about,
about
Musk's super PAC, putting how much money in these races? It's entirely legal. I mean,
it's speech.
That's
the
system.
Said.
Yeah. Number here is 800-348-2551, and he's not the only one. Don't want to single out Musk because I don't want a Starlink landing on my house later on. Let's go to Joan in Schenectady. Joan, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Ian. And
hey,
thanks,
John,
for doing this Voice of the People show today. How special.
She knows the Latin.
She sure does.
I do know my Latin. Oh, yes, I do. I just wanted to go back to the very beginning. Yes, we need to fix all of the system, the court, and yes, we need to get rid of the Electoral College. It's outlived its purpose. Let's go back to the name. The United States. America represents three huge land masses, northern, central, and south, all of those various countries. The important words were put first for a reason. The United States.
Okay.
We got to focus on how we're all in this together.
So do you have any, are you pointing any blame at the reason for the division in the country at this time?
The it's the same reason why I will not play on the computer lately. We are living too fast. I'm not at all disturbed that it might take 5 days, 7 days to get the result. Good things take patience to do it right. And we're just too spoiled with now. Hard to think about what comes next when you're so focused on what happened instead of let's just move forward.
Joan, you have a zen-like peace about you, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. And I didn't even know you had a computer. Is that new?
Oh, no. I just don't. I lived off of computers. I literally worked on computers all my life.
Oh.
As a end user of computers.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't go near them now if they're connected to the internet, because I will not be used as a marketing statistic.
Well,
end of story.
Joan, great call, and thank you very much. You know, speaking of internet, I saw on the crawl on CNN, it's been fairly so far. There have been a couple computer glitches in a couple counties in Pennsylvania. They're extending voting hours there, and I think in one county in Colorado as well. But it's been fairly smooth. There have been a couple things, but that always happens. But I did see on the crawl a little while ago, Secretary of State in Georgia is blaming polling place bomb threats on Russia, said they were of Russian origin. So there are always actors playing havoc. The internet makes it much easier.
Yes, it does. And I mean, if it's going to be down to a few votes in a few states, and those states had some sort of threat or they went offline, I mean, that's going to be a huge problem, potentially.
Let's go back to our phones, 800-348-2551. Our news director, Ian Pickus, joins us. He's got another show today, and we all have a busy day ahead, but here we are. Let's go to Jerry in Bethlehem. Jerry, you're on.
Hey, guys. Listen, I appreciate all the coverage you've given it, and I'm a long-time registered Democrat. But I really lost faith back in during the 2016 primaries, when basically the Democratic Party and the superdelegates basically pushed Bernie out of the race. So in 2020, I was very happily stuck in Mexico, a beautiful little town in Mexico, during the Black Lives Matter, the election, and the pandemic phase one, and Mexico is a great place to be there. The Mexican people are wonderful people, despite what some people say, and it was much nicer down there. I spent all of 2020 down there and was finally able to come back in June of 2021. But so I was I lost faith in the Democratic Party, or lost much of my hope in them, because of how Bernie was pushed out of the race, when all the polls showed that Bernie would have beaten Trump by like 65% to 35%, and they showed the polls, which are not always accurate, showed it being neck and neck between Hillary and Trump, because I think America was tired of Bush, Clinton, with a token, albeit very intelligent, well-spoken black man thrown in there to appease us liberals, but...
That's not
Obama,
how I would characterize
Yeah,
Obama.
I think that's probably not a fair thing to say, Jerry. Not.
All right. No. Listen. I loved Obama for how he made our country look to the rest of the world. He's an eloquent speaker. I think a good man, but I think all politicians are tied by the people that are holding the big money in this country, and I think that no matter what party you're in, I think that's the case. So,
all right, well, let me ask you a question. Yeah. We're going to dig you out of that hole for a second.
Sure.
Dig
me out.
All right, man. So the way it went down, you're a longtime Dem. So the way it went down when Biden got out of the race, are you happy with the way it was done, that Harris ended up as the nominee, or would you have preferred a brokered convention or some other method to make the options available?
Well, I don't think we had time for that. As a New York voter, my vote doesn't matter. Because of the Electoral College, my vote doesn't matter. So I wrote in for Bernie again because Kamala will get New York State's Electoral College votes. So I use my vote in the presidential election to make a statement, you know. So she'll get New York's votes, and I am so happy. I will be so happy if Mr. Trump does not get in again. I mean, I am praying for that, you know. But as a New Yorker, my presidential vote doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because he will not get our Electoral College votes. So it doesn't matter. It's
all right.
A shame that my vote for president doesn't matter.
Jerry, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. That's the number. Did you want to say something?
Well, he mentioned Bernie Sanders, and that's where we started that call. And Sanders is on the ballot today. He's running for re-election. I do think, and I'm curious to read it one day when the history of this year is written and people are candid about what they did between the Biden debate and Harris becoming the nominee. Sanders and AOC, who are the progressive leaders, were very quick to say Biden should stay in. He is the nominee and he can beat Trump. And I've always been a little puzzled by the schism that happened in the Democratic Party around that time. People like Pat Ryan, who we talked about earlier, were out on a ledge saying, hey, Biden's losing.
Yeah.
I love the guy, but he can't do this anymore.
You know, there are so many questions to be answered. And I would love if Biden wrote a book before, you know, he shuffles off his mortal coil because, and he wouldn't be able to answer this question, but some of us had suspicions about him in the 2020 debates that he wasn't quite as sharp as can be. And it was mentioned in the press. And Harris kind of dodged this and never answered the question, when did you know that he was declining? And that was never answered. And I think that's a vital trust question that we just never heard the answer to.
And there's been a lot of reporting that the White House knocked down as being unfair. They went after the special counsel report.
Yeah.
But clearly there was something to it.
Yep. Well, let's take a break here. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's an Election Day edition of Vox Pop, and we'll be back. Welcome back to The Dating Game. 800-348-2551. Yeah, it's not
America's that. Choosing a mate.
Vox. That's very good. Vox Pop. It's Ian Pickus with Ray Graff. And you at 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Tom in Gardner, Mass. writes in, where do independent voters stand? As a silent majority, we have no platform or venue to express our opinions other than the ballot box. Agree or disagree? Ian.
Well, you have the same rights everyone else does to stand on a street corner, to write essays, to post online.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good luck, Tom, in your independence. Steve in Bethel, you're on. Steve. Is it Bethlehem?
Bethel, man. How are you today?
Good.
No, it's Bethel.
Okay, man, you're on.
Okay, yeah, I'm sitting here on the side of the road because cell reception is spotty. So I got in my van right at the time you were discussing Prop 1.
Yeah.
And I've been screaming about that for a while now. I'll get back to that in a second because I've listened to a few callers sitting here on the side of the road. I was under the impression that the Bernie thing was yesterday's news. My opinion, I like Bernie. Some of his stuff wasn't realistic. But I think he's a bit too much of a curmudgeon to be president. You know, he's a little on the grumpy side.
Yeah, me too.
Getting back, you know, the discussion about Hillary. The shame is we can take Biden at his word when he wasn't prepared to run in 16 because his son had passed. But quite frankly, he did the thing. He fell in line because it was, quote unquote, Hillary's turn. I think Biden blows Trump away in 2016, but that's past history. Prop 1. So the language has to be as stupid as it is, because, yes, it was supposed to codify abortion into New York state law, but true to form, the politicians, they need to lump as much as they can in there, possibly trying to hide it. And what was also in there was essentially trans gay rights, which I'm all for. The problem and the reason I voted against Prop 1 is, listen, it should have been a standalone thing for abortion. They made it very vague. It's kind of in there. But my only problem with the trans rights thing is I spent a lot of years coaching youth sports, and I draw the line at guys competing against girls. That's going to cause an argument somewhere on this show, I guess. But and that's why they made it so vague. They put trans rights in there along with codifying abortion, and it just had to be such a mess. If they want to do a standalone for abortion, I'm down. I voted no.
But Ian, doesn't it seem like, hang on just a sec, Steve, doesn't it seem that if it's vague like that, it's inviting lawsuits?
It's not only inviting lawsuits, but it's inviting a catch-all opposition. I mean, I've read Republicans campaigning against it saying this proposition funnels money to, quote, illegal aliens. I mean, it doesn't say that either.
Yeah. All right, Steve, sorry we interrupted. Go ahead. You can wrap it up here, buddy.
That's fine. It's your show. and again, personally, I don't care what bathroom you use. I don't care what you look like. I just don't like guys playing against women. And that would have made, and I'm sure it happens in the state already. I'm not sure how to make it law. So yes, that's why it's a mess. And I happen to agree that, yeah, it's so vague that you can challenge this in the courts on any of a number.
Steve, you don't have to answer this, but are you a Democrat or do you lean left?
Well, I am a registered independent.
Okay.
I voted today for Harris. I voted Democrat all the way.
Okay.
I would say I'm a liberal, but there are certain things that I don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I'm for social programs, and you know what? You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So is there like 80% waste and graft in our social programs? Yeah, but the people that need it, it really helps them. You know, I know, you know, single mother widows who just needed a little bit of help from Section 8. They didn't ask for everything else they were qualified for. So that's, yeah, I vote Democrat mostly. So I get into some big old fights with my friends over this trans sports issue.
Okay, so Steve, that's where we're going to leave it right now. Ian, the point that Steve just brought up, and Steve, by his own admission, is it leans left most of the time. Are you surprised that this issue, the trans in sports, resonates so much?
Can I give you my honest read on that?
Yeah.
It's like the amount of attention that the idea that there are all these, you know, quote, biological men playing in girls' sports. I mean, I've seen the one or two kind of examples that have gone viral in our country in the past decade, but I just don't know where this is actually happening.
Mm.
I understand that, you know, there's going to be an argument, a slippery slope argument that opponents to the prop are making.
Yeah.
But I just don't know that this is a real thing that's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it is, but I don't know.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Ian Pickus joins us from the WAMC newsroom. He's our news director. Let's go now to Munson, Massachusetts. David, you're on.
Well, hello. Silly me, but I thought that a convicted felon cannot vote in a presidential contest in Florida.
Hmm.
Am I right about that?
I did not read the article, but I saw, I believe, a headline. I think it was on CNN, basically saying that Trump is a convicted felon, and here's why he can vote. But I honestly did not read the details of that.
And the Florida, felon voting law is pretty convoluted, as I understand it, and it's for certain crimes not on the table.
Yeah, so there you go. David, thanks for the call. Over now to Shelburne, Vermont, and it's Ted. Hello there, Ted.
Hey, you guys, you hardworking guys. I appreciate your station and yourselves very much.
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate it.
In Vermont, I heard a refresher of it this morning, not the details, but you can, if you are a real Vermont person, resident, and would like to vote today and have not registered, you walk in and you can vote. And I'm not sure if it's provisional, awaiting confirmation, but it is a same-day register and vote in Vermont.
Vermont is ahead of the rest of the Northeast states, too, in supplying a mailed ballot to all voters automatically. And then you can decide, right, if you would like to vote by mail, you do it, you send it back in. If not, you show up the day of and do it. You would void the mail-in ballot by coming up in person.
Did you get your vote done, Ted? Did you do it?
I drop-boxed mine a few days ago. Yeah, indeed.
All right, buddy.
And I also, democracy is a is more fragile than we are coping with, kind of. And even Vermont has had a small scale, lots of money going to candidates that the donors are not really acquainted with or nearby, but the governor has requested more Republicans in the legislature because the old-fashioned democracy is making his vetoes not functional.
Interesting. Do you agree with that, Ted?
What's that?
Do you agree with that?
Well, I agree with what I said in that the legislators, which are overwhelming the governor's lack of functionality. I'm not sure how to say that, but the governor has not been in the correct, and it's just as well that he hasn't been able to exercise his veto over the pretty well qualified.
I think Ian wants to chime in here.
Advertising is just takes the democracy out of democracy. I'll stop there. I'm sure there are people awaiting.
Well,
and I will.
Ted, Ian wants to just address what you said a little
real
bit.
Real quick about Vermont, because it's so much different from the other states we cover where, you know, you've got the lieutenant governor is a Democrat progressive. He's facing a former Democrat who changed his registration for this race. You have an independent U.S. senator and you have a Republican governor and a Democratic member of Congress who are probably all going to be reelected today on the same vote.
Yeah. Hey, Ted, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go down to Yorktown Heights. Cheryl, you're on. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Welcome.
Are you out of breath yet?
Nah, we'll make it tonight. We'll make it till midnight or 1.
Full of hot air. Yeah. Don't worry about us.
They're full of hot air. Oh, I try to keep this limited. And the main reason I called was when Paul called, it was about 3 calls before.
Yeah.
You seem to know him. I thought that he touched on one of the most important thing, which is the amount of money that is being blown on key elections everywhere. And I think for me, it was like hearing that Elon is throwing billions of dollars or millions of dollars to get Lawler elected. This is in my district and state. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating to know that the people with the biggest bucks are able to do this, basically do it through PACs, where the money is not treated as taxable money. It's treated, you know, and I'm sure, I don't know the whole details about what happens to Musk. I'm sure he doesn't do it in any way where he can't count it as something he also doesn't have to pay tax on. So what it does is like it or not, what's on TV, what's on the internet affects how many people vote. It affects all of us, actually, but it really affects some people more than others. So if we don't get a control on it, if we don't do something about the Citizens United decision and don't basically put caps on, I think this was at the beginning, people were talking about this too, about caps on the time that an election campaign can go on and total caps on the amount of money that can be taken in, our elections are going to be subject to massive control by people who are going to, in the end, benefit from electing, really benefit from electing the person they want. Now, in this case, with Trump, it's kind of easy to see what that talks about. But even on a local level, it takes the power away from local voters, I think.
Okay.
And I think that's one of the things that really, really troubles me.
Ian, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any issue with the argument. I just think they have to compete on the same ground.
And so, both sides are doing this.
Right, and when you get elected, right. I mean, the main thing you do is fundraise for the next time.
Yeah.
Your reelection campaign starts, you know, on January 4th or whatever. It's a it's Sure. I mean, it's the number one complaint I hear from when I talk to people who aren't in this on a daily basis. They really hate the ads, and they hate how much and how annoying the campaign season is. And it's very understandable.
All right, Cheryl, thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, the ads themselves, they stress me out. There are so many half-truths and false truths on both sides of the ads that I have seen in the presidential race. It sickens you. Just tell the truth, everybody. Everybody tell the truth.
Eye-opening for me, years ago, there was a local race. I'm not going to say what it is, but there was a local race, not anywhere close to what we're talking about on this show today, that used a WAMC news story in the ad. And in the story, we were quoting an elected official saying, you know, such and such thing is a great thing for the city. And then that was in the ad as if we were the ones saying it, even though we were quoting the elected official. And I was like, even on this, the local race, it's being twisted.
The spin. All right. Let's see. We will go to Paul in New Paltz. Paul, you're on.
Oh, hi. Great. Thank you. Hi, Ray. Hi, Ann.
Hi.
So I wanted to respond to that lovely woman about 10, 15 minutes ago who was talking about the United States of America and emphasizing United. So I want to draw an analogy because I'm European. I've been here 40 years, but I'm a Brit by birth. I want to draw an analogy between the United States of Europe and the United States of America, i.e. the European Union.
Okay.
You know, as a European, it's been pretty obvious for a long time that getting the British, the French, the Germans, the Swiss, and the Italians and the Greeks to agree on anything is pretty much impossible. So the question that comes up is what makes the United States different? Because it's been pretty, you know, we've been pretty united up until recently. So in 1991, I drove around the States. Okay. I'd been here just about 8 years. And the thing that really struck me was that America's not a country, it's a continent. Okay. It's a continent of countries that aren't necessarily delimited. Delimited. But it's knit together, as far as I could see, by, well, really two or three things. Okay. First of all, the dollar. Wherever you and a certain uniformity of culture. Okay, wherever you go, there's a gas station, there's an Amoco gas station. Wherever you go, there's a TV station. Okay, but really is broadcasting the same kinds of things. There are 7-Elevens all over the country. So the thing for me that has always knitted America together is based in the economy. Okay, so I think that if you really want to start pulling people together, the solution is to start with the economy. Okay, I really believe that the sort of the root of, you know, the MAGA movement and back to the Tea Party has been, you know, a set of economic policies that have just left so many people behind. And I think they've just been getting more and more upset and teed off until you get to a point where the divisions sort of morph from we need more money, we need more social support to we need a new culture. You know, we need a new culture. We're going to create a new cultural identity. And, you know, in some ways, I think maybe it's gone a little bit too far that way. You know, it's morphed so far that, you know, economic solutions make less and less impressions. But, you know, I think it's really based in an economic response to unifying us.
Paul, that is a very insightful call. Ian, you only have about 15 seconds to respond to Paul. But, Paul, thank you for that perspective. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mourn the loss of having the post-election kind of rally behind the leader, whoever it is, and live to fight another day in elections. I think, and maybe, you know, whenever Trump exits the stage, maybe he takes some of that with him. I don't know. But we are definitely not in that era anymore.
And both sides are to blame for that, to be certain. There has been a lot of divisive behavior on both sides. And so I think the key for everybody is to remember that people you disagree with in this country are not your enemy. And this is not a blood sport. We are all Americans. And, you know, it'll get better someday. Ian Pickus, speaking of getting better, you have a show coming up. We have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of pizza to eat.
6.5 slices is the over-under.
All right, man. Hey, listen, so appreciate you being here. Support comes from Winter Lights at Shelburne Museum, Shelburne, Vermont, a holiday tradition celebrating the season in lights November 21st through January 5th in Shelburne, Vermont, shelburnemuseum.org. Thanks to Ian Pickus. Thanks to you for listening. Thanks for all the great calls. I apologize. We have a full bank of calls on the line. You can hang up now. We're doing it again tomorrow, however. And David Lombardo will join Ian Pickus. We'll do a post-game on the election tomorrow at 2 p.m. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Ed Rosen screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 for the aforementioned program. I hope you voted. If you haven't done it, get out there and exercise your right in this democracy.